We're in for a wild night.
Welcome, 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 everyone, to episode 153 of Born to be Wild, a wild exclusive Hearthstone podcast where we have fun hanging out with friends, talking about the wild format of Hearthstone, and spotlighting members of the wild community. I'm your host, not Nate Wolf, but this is Hydrantless coming in at you from a great, not so beautiful, it's not raining day in the Vancouver area. Not Orange County, California, by the way. Nate's off tonight. He's having a great time with family, and so I hope he's just having an absolute blast. But I am joined by two of my favorite people, Schmoopy Daddy. Welcome back. How you doing?
Dude, I can't believe that I thoughtlessly, planned two vacations and did not include the Born to be Wild podcast in my vacation planning. Shame on me. That's my bad. I am very happy to be back, and ironically from Orange County, New York. So, like, never put that together. So, thanks for that. Super excited to be back. And so, at least Orange County is somehow represented on the podcast, much the same way as Canadians are.
Well, perfect. There we go. We still got it. Electric Sheep City, welcome back. How are you doing?
Meowdy friend, and welcome from the delightful Denver area. We decided to have like winter-ish part two today, so it's just like a little chilly. Very excited to kind of warm my feet by the hearth tonight. Let's go.
Awesome. That's so, so good.
So is your face. So for those of you joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. Let me briefly explain how this very show that you're listening to right now, I'm going to briefly explain how it works. We record this podcast live every Friday evening at twitch.tv/borntobewildhs. And the video version of this podcast is then posted to YouTube shortly thereafter. Audio versions are also distributed to all of the podcast apps. So however you're watching, listening, or absorbing via osmosis this podcast today, thank you. Yes, you.
Well, before we get into the main topic of the show, I'd like to say a quick thank you to Sho Kunin and the other patrons of our show. Your support means the absolute world to us. If you enjoy this content, please like, subscribe, and comment on this video on YouTube. Another simple way to support the show is to leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, or whatever you use to listen to podcasts. If you're watching live on Twitch, we've got some awesome emotes that you can unlock by subscribing. If you unsubscribe, you don't get them.
Just smash that subscribe button.
You can use your free Amazon Prime subscription like I just did for 32 months. I've been subscribed to the show for a long time. That's crazy.
That's more than two.
That's a long time. That's more than two.
Right? But there are also emotes that you can unlock just by following. And they're pretty fun. I like them. We also have some merch. And if you want to take a look at these beautiful people that we have, we've got Schmoopy Daddy and Schmoopy Mommy sporting the awesome merch that we got. You can get them on our website if you go to borntobewildhs.com. Finally, if you'd like to support the show financially, you can join our Patreon for as little as $1 per month. Also, if you'd like to interact with us personally, please join our Discord. It's a free and amazing online community of friends all across the world who love talking about wild Hearthstone. We talk about all sorts of things, and it's a blast. There's, pictures of Nate's cats. There is pictures of Wildcard pretending he's an animal. there's all sorts of things. We also have our funny usernames channel. So I'm going to read some off that we got this week. I had one that the person's name was Concede. I'm really glad that I did not take their advice because I ended up winning. So
hey, GG.
Take that. Hey. I mean, it might work sometimes for them. We also have Plooples? I don't know what Plooples is supposed to be. Maybe it's a reference to something. I don't know. Not Daddy. Nasty Nate, which is Nate's alt, apparently. You better run, Dr. BOMD, because the Dr. Killer is in the house. Then we've got Tennis Daddy and drum roll, please. Lick That Goat.
Nope. Goat's out.
The goat is out. I ain't licking the goat.
You don't want to lick a goat most of the time.
Most of the time. When would you lick the goat? Maybe we
I'm
should
not
say that.
Rule it out strictly. I'm just saying that like 99% of the time in life, you don't want to lick a goat. I'm not gonna tell you. I don't want to give you bad advice in case it's a you know in case it's a life or death situation. Well, I'm just saying.
The
most of
goat.
The time, you don't want to lick a goat.
Well, you have an hour or two to think about it, so we can do unrelated advice later, and you can tell me why I could lick the goat like 1% of the time.
Fun goat fact.
I'll find the scenario, don't worry.
Fun
best
goat fact.
Are on it.
For everyone who wanted to know, goat pupils actually rectangular. Fun fact. It's been your goat fact science corner.
That's why they're so creepy.
I mean, one of many reasons.
Yeah. That's absolutely amazing. Well, let's get into how our weeks were. Electric Sheep City, how was your week?
I played lots of things and lots of places. Not classic yet, but today in particular, I was playing like some standard, and I was playing this really fun Rainbow Death Knight, and I had like a 80% win rate from like D3 to D2. It was like six games, but still 80% was still pretty solid. Eight
Nobody
games?
Needs to know the know. Exact numbers, just the percentage is good.
Yeah. it was not just like a two game sample size. It was bigger than five, but less than 10. But it got me thinking, and I haven't made this yet because this was just today, but I kind of want to make an even Rainbow DK in our format. So that's probably going to happen for next week. Spoilers.
All right.
So
that's pretty cool.
Excited to play around on the different formats. And BGs, of course, is a blast too. And I want to know a little bit more about our format, because I know that our buddy Hydra's been playing that quite a bit this week. How'd you fare there, Hydra Lisk?
Well, I've got a couple things. So first I'm gonna say, last week I said I was going to play Odd Rogue like the entire week to see like where I fared on EU. I totally didn't do that. So,
as one does.
This is the way.
That did not happen whatsoever. I decided to actually play on NA and climb. So I hit legend like day after the show last week. It actually feels like a year ago.
Yo,
it super happened. But yeah, so I hit legend with what I'm calling Old Faithful, because when it was button drool, as Shmoopy Daddy would call it. It is the totem shaman. And it actually went really well. And it sucked because I had slipped to 9x, so I had the extra climb to do. So I had the D10 to D5 at one game per win, which kind of sucked. So
but at least if you had like a win streak, you may have gotten a bonus star or two in there.
Huh? That definitely happened, because my win rate, 69%.
Nice.
So 69% to legend with Totem Shaman. It went pretty good. So I'm legend in what do you call it? Classic and wild. I would like to make the push for standard. It's a bit rough because I don't play a lot of standard, so I'm floating a 7x in standard. Mm-hmm. So I believe that tops me off at plat 10, if I'm not incorrect on that one. And I'm like at gold 2 right now. So I would have to climb, and what do we have? Like 10 days, 9 days at like a game apiece. I was playing pure paladin, which is like pretty broken. So like
it's, good deck, it's, yeah.
And I have like a 70% win rate with it. So it's going pretty good. But the climb, I don't know if you guys remember, I think it was Saturday when I was climbing with Totem Shaman. I hate druids now. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like my last three ranks or two ranks were so many druids, and I'm sitting there, they have zero mana, they are playing cards, they are gaining mana, they are playing more cards, they are back to zero, still playing cards, and can you stop? Yeah. it's so insane to me.
You say, can you stop? And druid says, no, we can't do that.
My buddy texted me like a screenshot, and he said, boys only want one thing and it's disgusting. And it was a hand that had like a guff, twig, instrument tech, an innervate, a coin. Like it was pretty fun. I was like, that sounds about right. And there might have been a UI in there. Like he was like immediately going to ramp, draw a bunch of, like it was, you could just see it turn out. It was like carnage. It was like, all right, this is turn one. Come on, dude.
Yeah. When I had two final bosses, which isn't a lot, to be honest. My first final boss, twig on four, of course. Or it, on quote unquote four is probably turn two.
Yeah, whatever it was. Whenever they had enough mana to play twig.
I'm like, no. Why did you have to twig right away? It's gonna be a disaster. So like I knew I was done, but on second final boss, it was clear. I just ran away with that game. I don't know what was in my opening hand, but I ran away with it. And it was obvious by like turn four that I had won. So I was pretty stoked. So Legend in two formats. I don't know if three is going to... Like, I would have to play a lot in the next week.
That's to make standard. It.
Yeah, boo. So, and the thing is, I don't know the meta. Right. So like I'm playing
deck
that is supposedly broken, and I am getting the broken win rate with it. Like HS Replay puts it at like 71% or something, which is insane over across all ranks. Or maybe it was five to legend D5 to legend, showing my age there.
Rank five must be good. It's like it's a solid deck.
Yeah. No, it is. And it's kind of crazy to me that Light Ray was actually cheaper at one point because it's still. It's still bad in a good way, right? Like it's pretty nuts. And then otherwise in my week, one other thing happened, and that was directly before this show. I get home from work. Mrs. Hydra is out at a hair appointment. She's getting her hair all cut and did. And Mini Hydra comes out of his bedroom, and he's in the kitchen. I'm setting up my little background here that I have, and he goes, uh-oh. And I'm like, what? And he's like, Dad. And I go over, look, my son at some point in time during the day spilt a bottle of grenadine in the cupboard. I found out it was because he did not put the lid back on and then knocked it over with a box of cereal. Anyway, it was all over the countertop, all draining down the wall, all over the linoleum in the kitchen, and there happens to be a vent directly below that. So there, it all oozed into the vent. I live in Canada, so yes, we run our furnaces, and it was the furnace was on during the day, and so everything that went into the vent became syrup, like almost instantly. So there was gooeyest, grossest mess, like right over there. And my son was actually, he's meeting up with Mrs. Hydra. They're going to a parkour gym tonight. And
that's
so
cool.
He took the bus and he's meeting her there. And he looks at me and she calls me, right? She calls me and she's like, make sure he gets on the right bus. So I like walk him down to the bus stop. And he's 14, by the way. He's okay. He can ride a bus. And he's like, Dad, don't tell her. Don't tell her. Don't tell her. Because he has been told so many times that if he gets a drop of grenadine on the counter, because he makes Shirley Temples with it, if he gets a drop on the counter, he has to clean it right away because it will stain the countertop. Like, this is, like, beet red.
Well, and, I don't think he got a drop on there.
He you got like a liter. Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's like the big bottle. And he's like, please don't say anything. So I didn't say anything, right? Because what they're doing is they're going out to that, and then they're going out for dinner, and then they say they're going to be home at about 9, right? And I'm like, I don't want to taint the experience because he's been told so many times not to spill the grenadine. So I was like, oh, okay, I got you. I'm not going to say anything. But if it doesn't come out of the counter or the lino,
she'll know.
She'll know.
You won't have to tell her.
So I spent half an hour or so. There's still more in the vent I got to get out. But it didn't, when I was wiping down, it did not come off the countertops. And then I made a 50-50 bleach water solution. And it instantly, you could see just like float up into the water, like the red. I'm like, yes. So I wiped it all down. It is gone. Crisis averted. And then Mrs. Hydra, when she realizes that the grenadine bottle only has like a couple ounces left in it, I can be like, oh yeah. Want to hear a funny story?
And the kitchen smells like bleach. Like that's going to be like a...
There's that too. I'm like, well, the smell will go away before... I got like 2.5 hours before she gets home.
Have you been... cleaning on podcast night? What's going on?
What are you doing? But yeah, no, I was like, you know what? I got you. I'll clean this. I'll tell her about it after, but I just wanted to make sure I could clean it first.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my week. It was fun. Who's next? Whose week is next? Shmoopy Daddy, how is your week?
It's funny. I was talking to you guys before the show about how like it's been 2 weeks since I've been on, but at the same time it's been 2 weeks since I've been on. So much has happened in the HS world. We had reverts. We had a new expansion come out. We had the day one race. And now I'm looking at the clock and it's like the 21st, and I feel like it's been like longer than 2 weeks since I've been on the pod.
It's weird when you when you miss 1 week, it feels like forever. 2 weeks is...
It feels like a lot. 2 weeks feels like it's like I've taken a month off. And I find myself trying to recount everything that I did in my HS life between when I was last on and now. And the big things, I think the highlights were, I for a brief moment in time, and maybe not so brief moment, maybe continuing, I was a Seedlock addict. I couldn't not play that deck. Once it was reverted, I thought it was so much fun, and it is so much fairer than it was when it came out, to the point now where it's like tier four. Like it is hot garbage. You do not want to play it right now. It has so many bad matchups. It doesn't matter. I have one in all gold and I'm still playing it. I hit legend day one, so I conceded down to bronze 5 for new cards, and I'm currently floating around low legend. I've spent the entire expansion not chasing achievements, just goofing off, playing whatever I wanted to play, and kind of enjoying the new cards, probably more than I'd say most of the people that I'd normally be competing against post day one, if I had just sort of stayed up at the MMR I was at, because it's just been Druidstone. Right? So I've been able to do dumb stuff like, you know, throw OG C'Thun in like the Ramp Druid package and like hit people with that. I'm learning Hostage Mage a bit. Throwing OG C'Thun in that with the two mage minions so that like, you know, you're playing coins and stuff and he's getting bigger. So I've been just like having fun and memeing more early on than I normally am, usually because of THL reasons. But from a personal standpoint, I had two vacations. We went to Portland, Maine, which is where Shmoopy Mommy and I had our honeymoon way back when.
Uh-huh.
Pre-Shmoopy. And there's a lot of good beer and a lot of good food. And so we keep going back and keep trying to sort of replicate that. And once we went back when she was pregnant with Shmoopy, once we went back with Shmoopy, and then we went back with Shmoopy and daughter, and now we went back again with Shmoopy and daughter, and they're a little bit older, and Shmoopy even requested the trip. I think he's traumatized for 5-hour drives, but we'll get there. We'll get there. Lots of Kindle. And then last weekend, I didn't even realize it, but last weekend I was scheduled to play in my alumni soccer game for my college. So I get there and I realize immediately that I am probably in the top 8 oldest people there. It's an incredibly young team for the alumni, a lot of guys in their 20s. And so it was a really high level game. And I haven't probably kicked a soccer ball in anger in 2 years plus, maybe. So getting out there and running around, maybe 3 or 4. Okay, Aaron Warren reminded me of something very funny about our trip. But I quickly realized, like, oh, okay, I'm probably not fit to be out here for too long. So my final stats were something like 28 minutes played, three taps made, 5 out of 7 passes completed, 1 skinned knee, and 2 beers completed on sidelines.
An average heart rate of 175.
Yeah, something like that. Right. Because, like, I'm literally prepping for this, like, walking at 4 miles per hour, watching One Piece on the treadmill for an hour at a 10% incline. This is not the kind of training I need to be there, right? So it was a lot of fun, and it was really cool to bring our kids around who could kind of appreciate like the stories we're telling them. And like Smoopy's old enough where we're like, oh yeah, and this is where mommy and daddy had different kinds of classes, and like we knew different cool things we could show him, and the campus and the town surrounding town had gotten so much cooler. It was just a really neat family time. But Aramorn does remind me, on the way back, I'm usually the one who does these long drives, and I usually house it. Like if it's, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 hours, doesn't really matter. I usually do it, but sometimes I do get tired, especially recently in my sort of getting on mid 30s. I noticed that right around 1 p.m. I need a nap. So it's just like, all right, you know, Shwoopy mommy, I'm going to need to take a nap if we're going to continue to drive safely. The Red Bull has worn off. It is your time to take the wheel. So I sort of, in fairness to her, I got off in kind of a weird way, and I didn't quite find a good place to stop. So I stopped in what seemed like a country club, like entryway. And like we just sort of parked there, and then we switched seats, and I went to sleep. Right, I immediately went to sleep, and I woke up about 20 minutes later, and I hear Shoopy mommy say something on the lines of, "Oh shoot, he woke up." and I'm like, "What's wrong, honey?" And she's like, "Well,
what had happened?
Going
what?
North." And I'm like, "How?" She's like, I don't know. This is why you only give me aggro decks, isn't it? And so she managed to add 45 minutes to our trip by getting back on the throughway and going the complete opposite way that we're supposed to go. And the best part about it, she's just like, yeah, you know, the GPS was like kept screaming at me, and I kept ignoring it because I thought I knew better. And I'm like, oh, honey.
Oh, no.
Oh, honey. You know, even Shaman Maine, by the way. So, like, it was we got a good story out of it. We got a good laugh out of it. But, like, especially when you go on one of these trips with kids, you keep watching, like, the destination time creep back. And I could probably, like, without a GPS, I could probably drive home from my college at this point. Even though it's 6 hours away, I know all the roads. There's only so many ways to go, but you like seeing the time tick down. You like be able to tell, you know, Shmoopy in the back, how much longer are we in the car? We're going to be in the car for another, you know, 160 miles, right? Or we're going to be in the car for another 45 minutes. And so it's nice having that, but like watching it go from like 3:30, 4:30, 5 when I took a nap, 5:45 when I woke up, I'm like, what's happening? My kids fall asleep at 6. So it's been a busy 2 weeks. I'm very happy to be back, and I'm very excited for when it be kind of a special show, because we had some special happenings happen.
Welcome to the news. The news is so good.
Sorry, we're not Star Train. All right. Anyway, the most probably like important part, I think, as a community event that happened very recently. Congrats to Ridiculous Hat. Associate community manager for Hearthstone, specifically. Dude is an icon in the community again, head of THL, star on a bunch of podcasts, just like overall good dude. If you've played Wild long enough or been involved in Hearthstone long enough, eventually you meet him and to talk to him, and he's a really, really nice guy. And he said in the following in tweets, "Today is an incredibly emotional, and if I try to write the perfect tweet chain, it's not going to work. So let's just write some words, because that's how life has gone on in this website. I put in my notice today at work because I am the new associate manager for Hearthstone. It is the most exciting opportunity in the universe, and I've known about the job for about 24 hours, and I'm still in shock. But I had to take it. The team's done so much for me, and I'm so excited to do what I can to connect with all of you. It's going to be amazing. But this means the end of content creator ridiculous hat. So even though I hope you still follow this Twitter, my relationship with the game is going to be different. I'll talk about it on my shows this week that aren't going to be super emotional, that aren't super emotional decade-long love letters. See at TAC podcast."
The Angry Chicken.
The Angry Chicken. Okay.
Spoiler alert for the next.
Yeah, spoiler, I was going to say, maybe we should have done these in slightly different order. Anyway, but for now, I'm just going to say thank you to literally everyone that I've interacted with. I've had the best co-hosts in the world, a ton of fantastic community connections, and a lot of fun just playing Hearthstone. Time to see what's next. And sort of dovetailing with that is, it is the final episode of The Angry Chicken. Again, like he said, he's just sort of, he is now ending his connections inside the community as a community content creator and transitioning to Blizzard employee. And as a friend of Wild, like it can only be like a good thing, right? Like what's your guys' reactions?
I am so excited for Hat, and I'm so excited for us. Like this is the Hearthstone match made in heaven. Like, congratulations, Hat. It's incredible. I can't wait to see what he does with it. We're lucking out so hard right now.
Oh yeah. I am so excited for him because like when I first, my first interactions with Ridiculous Hat would have been back in the Dad Legend community. He was one of the other dads. Well, I don't think he's actually a dad, but you know what I mean? He was in the group of like, "Hey, can we hit rank 5?" That, you know, that group.
Yeah.
And so like he was just there sharing deck lists, you know, just like one of us trying to, you know, get there, do what we can. And he was the big part of that group. And then he made it his way on to Coin Concede. And like that was super cool, like after Cora left and everything. And just seeing the growth and to get that opportunity to, like, he's already put so much effort into creating content for this game and not being a paid employee by Blizzard, right? Like, and now to actually get on there and do the thing and you know, get paid by the company to do stuff for the game is super cool. I'm super proud of him. I'm super stoked for him. It's gonna be a whole new adventure. A little sad that we don't get to hear I like to call him the Auctioneer. Just because he talks so fast on his podcast. I used to always have to check what speed my podcast was running on when he was talking. Because, let me check. Nope, that is just one times. Like, it's not set at 1.5 or 2.
An espresso guy is what you're saying?
It is going to be a little surreal not hearing Hat speak at 2.2 times speed into my ear holes, because I listen to podcasts at 2.2 times speed and he already speaks fast, so it's kind of like awesome. I get to like train myself, you know, it's like a training montage there, so it's gonna be surreal not hearing him in my ear holes anymore.
You know what, maybe you could give Busta Rhymes a run for his money. We should get him on a song.
That's a great idea.
Do a Busta Rhymes cover and get Hat to do it. Oh my gosh.
It's funny because I heard the news and like I'm happy for Hat, but I almost felt a little melancholy because I know he's such a thoughtful guy. And you know, he puts himself out there so much, and in a position like this where now you are a part of Blizzard, I wonder sometimes if like that changes his dialogue at all. But like I've had people also like kind of turn it back at me and say, well, now, like, you know, Matt London's already sent out the bait tweet, official Hearthstone podcast, right? where like, well, maybe, you know, maybe he's going to be able to share maybe with a little bit more insight with us about where their heads are at, where the plan is going, and sort of inform us that way, as opposed to being kind of what we do, which is in a lot of cases are just sort of seeing and reacting, right? And it's very different being able to see where it's going. So I'm super excited for him and the opportunity, but it is a little melancholy that like the community is kind of losing a resource a little bit, you know. It's, he's not going anywhere, but the same place, he's not there in the same capacity.
Yeah, full agree. Just like I'm so stoked. And you mentioned already that Angry Chicken did have its last episode, so Ridiculous Hat is obviously moving on, like we said, and Garrett's been off the show for a while, so this is the end of the Angry Chicken. I don't know if you guys listened to the episode. I listened to it today, actually, and it was fun having Garrett back on, and it was good. It was good. Just they were sharing memories and all that sort of thing. They talked about Dills a little bit, and it was sad knowing that you're hearing the theme song for the last time.
Yeah.
Sheep, how do you feel? I know that you're an avid listener.
I listened to TAC every week, and you know, I listened to a lot of it live, but not all of it. You know, I was giving baby a bath, all that good stuff. So whenever it hit my podcast feed and it was called Jobs Done, I just,
yeah,
like that's when I lost. I was like, oh man.
I actually got a lump in my throat when I saw the name of the episode was called Jobs Done. I was like, oh, like it actually, like it made me super sad, because they always say that at the end of the episode, right? And it's true. Jobs done.
Yeah. And Hat didn't remember exactly if it was Joss or Garrett who came up with that, but he's like, it wasn't me, but it was perfect. Like, we had to go with that, and it was so true. So it's bittersweet because, you know, like Garrett's moved on already, you know, Hat's moving on to work at Blizzard. Like, we're yeah, definitely still going to be hearing from him. Joss is going through like tons of life things, like growing a whole human, you know,
that's a job.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
So, you know, so happy for all of them and all of what they're going on to, but it's sad to be losing it still. So it's
10 years,
over 500 episodes, just hearing at the very end, like the, just wind down the people like talking about, and Dills was one of the recorded ones, like talking about all of the, you know, what TAC has meant to them at the very end, was just like, I don't have words. It was heart wrenching.
If you haven't listened to it yet, I encourage all to go listen to it. It gives you the feels.
It definitely does.
Yeah. I'm sad again.
I'm sorry.
I think it, well, I mean, you can look on the bright side. I think that cements us as the longest running Canadian Hearthstone podcast. When you consider the cast and the chat, I've made this crack earlier, but like, you know, we're going for longevity. But yeah, no, hey, listen, congratulations though, guys, for going so long and putting out a great product. I never consumed it. The only two podcasts I've ever consumed that were Hearthstone related were Hearthstoners and you guys. And I got put onto you guys because Hearthstoners stopped recording episodes. Shocking. So like, you know, looking for regular
they passed out.
looking for regular consistent content, I came to you guys. So like I've heard Hat on State of Wild, had him on once.
That is also a YouTube podcast thingy.
He was on this show too once, but it was quite a while ago now.
I don't think I heard him when he was on here. But you know, I just, the times that I've heard him and like heard his viewpoints recorded, he's just phenomenal. And so I guess good on those guys. Congrats on moving on to bigger and better things. We're gonna move on to slightly less exciting things in the news, like the Legends Take Stage in-game event. Anybody finished this yet? Are we there yet?
Yeah.
Sheep did.
I'm not done because of my split attention between servers. So no, I'm not complete.
Okay. You can earn. Sorry, I go ahead.
No. Like I've got like halfway on three servers at this point. So I'll get there.
Got you. Halfway on three servers. You can earn signature variants of Cowbell Soloist and Void Virtuoso, as well as a standard pack and a Festival of Legends pack. Ooh. Yippee. I do like that they do these free in-game events that add value, that, you know, like all you need to do is play the game, that are open to anyone. That's really cool that they do this now. And, like, you know, you don't have to go and claim it. When it shuts down, any rewards that you earned are automatically shipped to you, as far as I'm concerned, yep. Right? Like, they do that with the rewards track. I'm assuming they do the same thing with these. So, like, this is cool. Because I remember I used to get hyped for these events when I was, more free-to-play. And, like, I was like, you know, you're scrambling for every pack. You get 100 gold, and you're immediately buying a new one. Getting free ones just sort of randomly like this, just for doing what you would normally be doing anyway, that's awesome. And the signature cards look nice, too. I don't know if I'm ever going to play Cowbell Soloist. However.
You will when they give you the quest that says you have to play Cowbell Soloist.
I did that
in Embiggen Druid. And it was terrible, but it worked. My board was cleared, and I was actually able to play the, like, 4-mana, 5... Four, because you know, Embiggen, and it dealt two, and yeah.
The quest said deal 3 damage, and I dealt 2 damage, and I still got the quest. So same. I'm super confused at that.
Same,
but I will take it.
Also, if you're looking for free values along similar lines, Prime Gaming was giving out free packs. They really blew us away with a free epic last week, and this time they are offering us 3 standard packs from Prime Gaming, if you've got Amazon Prime. 3 standard packs is not bad. It's not bad. I have not opened these. I'm sitting on these. I'm hoping to open them next expansion. Maybe we do a little free expansion. We'll see if I can save up enough gold and enough packs.
I believe.
How about you guys? Are you going to crack these, or are you going to save them? So, oh.
I am not. I'm sitting on them. I've already... I'm hoarding packs, any free pack, any Tavern Brawl pack. Like, I don't have a lot yet. I've got like 6 or 7, I think, I've earned or something like that. Some rewards track packs, some of these packs, and I'm just going to keep saving them up for the next expansion, because why not? Like, yeah, okay, maybe you could crack them if you really wanted dust, or after some nerfs, maybe you could get some cards that are going to be nerfed or whatever. But no, I would prefer to... obviously spend less money on the game, so I'm just gonna hold on to them for now. How about you, Sheep?
Yeah, I'm holding on to them right now as well. I am also starting to hoard my gold now that I have all of the signature cards.
What?
So
hold rewind. What?
Yeah. So they were doing this. They opened up the ability to buy signature golden packs or whatever with gold, right? And I had over 10,000 gold, and so I spent all of my gold, and then I, you know, was doing what Shmoopy was saying with the 100 gold. Just every time I got 400 and. Yeah.
Now, do you have a spreadsheet showing like did you keep track of how long it took you to get them? How many packs? Nothing like that?
No. I bought the 2 like signature bundles whenever those were, you know, rolled out at the beginning of the expansion. So, you know, definitely helped subsidize that with more than just the in-game gold, but vast majority of it was gold. I had been hoarding it for ages, and now I get to start trying to do that again, and hopefully they increase the drop rate of signature cards in the next one, because otherwise I'm gonna be subsidizing it with a lot more external funding, and I don't really want to do that.
Yeah, they dropped the rates a lot this expansion, then
significantly.
It's noticeable. Yeah. And it's not just, and maybe it's not just because like we had like in the last expansion, that day one bug where people were getting a bunch of signature cards they didn't want just because of the drop rates. But these look really cool, and it feels like they reduced the drop rates. And I know Imic shared some stats with us that showed that, like, okay, these gold packs are not the same as like the signature packs, let's say, for the previous expansion.
Yeah. I'm so torn because I'm so jealous that Sheep has them all, and I've already started hoarding gold for the next expansion. And I want the thing, like, Cousin Tony looks so cool. I want that one so bad.
I actually cracked Signature Tony in my pre-release opening, like from the packs then, which was really cool. Nice. He does look awesome, nice, by the way.
And I did not get it. I didn't get that card at all. I'm still waiting for it. It's the one card I'm missing still.
As soon as you hit 50.
As soon as I hit 50, I'll get it.
As soon as you hit 50. He'll hit 50 3 months from now because he's got to spread himself across.
when he does hit 50 there, he'll hit it three times in each of the once go. For each server.
There you go.
Actually, best thing about the rewards track, if you're somebody who's free to play and you're like a 15-minute coffee break kind of player in the bathroom or like whatever, the rewards track is so front-loaded, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So hitting 50 is not hard. I think, like, Shmoopy Daddy, you're insane because you hit it, like, super fast. But, like, your average person's going to hit it in, like, I don't know, maybe, like, 4 weeks or something?
Oh, no, I get messages from people. Like, I hit level 400 in the last track. I think I played more than I normally play last expansion because I wanted to get 1K DK.
Yeah.
So there were definitely extended grind sessions where I would not have normally been playing. But I got sucked into playing more than I normally would have. And there are people on servers that were more casual that were just like I had hit level 400 and they're just like, poof, got under the line, got my portrait for level 100. All right. Like there's definitely, you're not wrong. Like there's some, for some people, that's the pinnacle. Like they just want to hit the 100 and get their portrait and they're good to go. And honestly, even if you only do 100 levels of the rewards track, it is very, very rewarding, especially if you're not buying the pass and you're just going for whatever value is there. Like it's really good.
Oh, once you start getting to the higher levels where you're getting 100 and then 150 gold per level or whatever, like that is like you're making bank at that point.
I'm very excited to hit level 100 on this one for Dame Groovy Bark. So I'm rushing to 100 myself.
Yeah. where are you at right now, Sheep?
I'm 51, 52.
Oh yeah, you passed that line. I'm not, but
Shmoopy's probably like, still got me beat, but
I'm 55.
Oh, I think I hit not by too much. Today. Nice.
Not by too much. You know, you're on my heels. I really haven't done any achievement hunting yet, but I've got me and Mage, I've got two of the Mage achievements done already. Randomly, just because like I put new bad cards into like Casino Druid or sorry Casino Mage and got them randomly, you know, playing at lower MMRs. So,
you know, you bring up achievements. I was looking because I know that you do the achievements. You can look and see because it shows all the expansions on the side.
Yeah,
like which ones you do them. You can see where I gave up. did them all, and then like the bar is like 2 millimeters.
Whenever I couldn't get the Oh My Yog achievement, that's where I kind of like gave up. I was like, I'm not gonna have the 100%.
Yeah,
but you still might. I got it with I got it with Demon Hunter.
That's true.
And then I got it again with Paladin, but like I got it with Demon Hunter. You could just like just playing Yogg, you can magically get an Oh My Yogg lethal.
Praise him.
It could happen. Still waiting, by the way, and all our listeners, if anybody has me beat, I have two Oh My Yogg lethals. If anybody has me beat, I'm waiting.
It's not Yogg Box
lethal, it's an Oh My Yogg lethal?
Oh, oh, yep. Oh My Yogg, the secret.
Oh My Yogg.
It's hard to do.
Well, there's also get 4 huffers in a row. What are the odds of that? I hate that stupid achievement.
I'm not doing that.
What, 4 factorial?
I only do achievements. I only do achievements that give me experience. Otherwise, it's not worth my time. speaking of possibly not worth our time, like trying to ladder in this Druid Stone era might not be worth your time, but luckily there are some changes on the horizon. We got a tweet that says the next scheduled patch is the bigger balance patch for the expansion, and it looks like the final design is taking bigger to mean more swole. Finalizations and details next week. For now, enjoy the upcoming Masters Tour this weekend. And then it shows, like, you know, Aleko's tweet of the really buff dude. It's implied there's a lot of buffs here. In a different Aleko tweet, he's confirmed there will be some wild balancing. I will eat Ridiculous Hat's hat, whatever hat he chooses, if they don't do something to Twig. I would be honestly shocked because, again, that Ramp Druid is S tier and it is completely off the back of one card interaction being completely bonkers. That used to be a meme until all of a sudden, oops, we have a neutral weapon tutor. Who could have foreseen this?
Literally so, everyone.
Yeah. The card came out and the molding began.
As it was announced.
It was like, there's a quote from me somewhere in the expansion reveals where I'm just like, this instrument tech has the possibility of being like a top five card for the expansion, but like we haven't seen the rest of the expansion yet. And like it just because of just tutoring Twig. Because like, you know, again, like you guys said, you guys saw it. I saw it. Everybody saw it all at once. It's gonna be too consistent. And it is, and it's silly. I was testing the deck yesterday with Boris Andre for THL. And he's just like, I don't know if I want to ban Druid. And at the end of our session, he was just like, okay, I'm banning Druid. It's goofy. Yeah. It's just so goofy. But anyway, so that's coming probably next week. When do you guys think? Like Tuesday, Thursday? Guessing Tuesday is my guess.
So they mentioned something about timing. In regards to, you know, of course, after the Masters Tour, which is this weekend.
Okay, yeah. Sometimes it complicates things.
So I don't know if it'll roll out Tuesday or if it'll roll out Thursday, if we may be waiting an additional week, but I kind of doubt it. So I'd say probably Tuesday or Thursday.
Well, it's so next week for sure. I'm going to say it's either Tuesday or Thursday. I my money would normally say Tuesday, but you bring up the Masters Tour is a good point. It might be a little delayed from that.
So what you're saying is this weekend I should play Druid because I have next to no Druid wins because I'm the opposite of Sheep. Like Sheep has all of the Druid wins and I have none
of the Druid wins. I only have 3,000. Shmoopy has more mage wins than I have Druid wins, so.
Drum roll. Okay, so I've been playing this game for 8 years, okay? 8 years, and I have just over 200 Druid wins.
Wow.
I'm going to do the math on that for a second.
I have more than 200 Druid wins last month, and I was going hard on DK last month. I don't know if I had more than 200 last month, but I mean, it's probably close.
How many Druid wins do you have exactly?
On NA, it was, I think, I sent a screenshot earlier to Sheep. It was like 227 or something.
Okay.
We'll say 227.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
now that's just on NA. I did play a lot of aggro Druid for free to play on the other servers. So there's a chance I'm higher, but let's just go with NA.
Let's give you the benefit of the doubt and say that you got 300. Okay. Right. Let's say that you got 300 Druid wins total across all servers. That might be generous. I don't know. I don't know how much you played it. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
So, being a scientist, you said it's been 8 years.
Yeah. Well,
a typical year is 365.25 days. So I multiplied that by 8 to get a total of 2,922 days. So you're averaging one Druid win per day for 8 years to get to
0.1.
Around. So like every 10 days, you're like, ah, screw it. And you like, you get one Druid win and then you're like,
I'm good for 10 days.
I'm good for another 10 days. Right. So you've been doing that for 8 years. That's impressive.
You've really put like, that
there's been, They sent some good druid decks.
Some really good druid decks.
Because it's been broken so many times that it made me hate it. Like when UI came out, when I saw UI announced, there was this guy at work, Ben from work, and he's like, "Dude, did you see this card?" Yeah, I saw. We're like, "It can't be real. This must be fake. Like this is the ultimate card. Like it actually is." Like it was so ridiculous that I was like, "I'm not playing druid. Like I'm really not. My only druid wins are like Force Roar, I swear." Like
you had a minute.
That was the first busted druid combo.
Didn't you try my token druid and barons? I was like, nothing was working, and I'm just like,
yes.
Try token druid, and token druid worked.
So that is on when I said I had been playing druid on EU and Asia. They're both called Shmoopy druid. That is what they're labeled as.
Unchanged since Barons, it's glorious. Yeah,
and like one of them has the Vargoth Marauder in it, and the other one didn't. You had like two of them. It was like when Arbor Up came out or whatever, that just made everything awesome, right? Yes, I played them because I opened because there's like one legendary in the deck, right? So like
it's super cheap,
and at the time. It was a force to be reckoned with, and no one was actually playing it.
It was a force roar to be reckoned with.
See what you did. It was a good deck. I miss it.
I mean, you can play it if you want.
I absolutely can, and I might.
Down there at the bottom of the legend ladder. Why not? Maybe it'll get some wins.
Well, I'm not there anymore. I'm low legend, so like people are doing Twiggy stuff. Other news items, we got a bunch of bundles. The ones that I have listed here as far as like the graphics go are we have our Legends of the Lich King bundle and the Legends of Nathria bundle, which are both like 20 packs a piece of, March of the Lich King and Murder at Castle Nathria get the sets. And both bundles also come with legendaries corresponding to those sets.
And if you've never opened any legendaries yet from like if you're playing catch up at this point,
sure,
like you're guaranteed three legendaries, right? Like
yeah, it's a good deal. Yeah, if you've never opened Castle Nathria packs, yeah, I mean on average regardless you should get three legendaries out of this deal.
Yes,
because on average you should get, you know, one per 20. Doesn't always work out, but no, those are good deals. And these are solid.
Yeah, I think if you haven't completed those sets and you are somebody who's okay with putting money into the game, these are super worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really good price point.
Even if you're a standard player, like these are probably like good sets to invest in, considering that like no new cards were nerfed in the first round of nerfs. So like there's a reason for that. The power outliers and the things that are really kind of like the sets that are the straws stirring the drink are going to be your March of the Lich King and your Castle Nathria cards probably right now, I would assume. Maybe a little bit of Sunken City, but even it feels right now that Sunken City and Festival are kind of playing second fiddle to those other two set cards in standard. So last but not least, esports Masters Tour is on the way, and I have a link. And what do you guys want me to do with the link? Click the link.
So the Masters Tour is coming up. It's coming up tomorrow at 9 a.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Central European, and 1 a.m. KST. I don't know what that one is. But that one
neither
as
do
well.
Korean Standard Time? Did they do one Asia?
It could be. That makes sense.
Step in the dark.
Yeah. So
it is Korea Standard Time.
Nailed it.
Look, we just learned stuff.
Yeah, buddy. So
from a teacher.
Class is in session.
My students don't do that, so I don't like. This is a first for me. Getting the warm fuzzies.
Yeah. So we've got there are free drops packs if you tune in. I can't remember exactly how much time you have to spend. I think it's like 2 hours or so. But I mean, esports is fun. This is kind of like, I feel like this is the season is kind of the death rattle for Hearthstone esports. And you know, this is me being a doomsayer, truthfully. But well played. you know, watch it. I would recommend to watch it. It's, you know, high level play. It's standard, but you get packs, and it should be a fun watch. Some of the best, what is it, 16 of the best players in the world going at it.
Also, one of our fellow podcast friends is Edelweiss from Coin Conceit. He's going to be one of the casters. So that's super cool.
Yeah. I can't wait to watch her cast some of these intense matches. She's a great caster. So excitement
about it. Also, it's kind of neat about the link that we have posted in the show notes and in the chat currently. Is it goes through all the lineups and a brief description of what the lineup's trying to do from the perspective of somebody who knows Standard, which I don't. So like going through and kind of translating and parsing through that is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Everybody at the last one, you couldn't ban DK, but it didn't matter because no one brought Death Knight. This time, everybody brought Death Knight, like... What is it? 14 of the 16 are Frost and the other two are, I think, Blood. Maybe they were Unholy. I think they were Blood. Yeah, they were Blood DKs. So like DKs everywhere. DH is everywhere. It'll be intense.
I mean, if you like playing DK, the new class Standard, it's kind of the place to play it. So
I played Rainbow DK today in Standard.
Yeah, it's funny. Even Unholy Death Knight does not have a good matchup spread right now, which like you always kind of like the problem with all the Death Knight classes is they really all want like board based aggro as their opponents, and that is so not the meta right now.
Yeah.
Like, if you are facing board based aggro, you're facing off against Even Shaman or Pirate Rogue, and like you really have to be at the top of your game to do it. And UDK doesn't mind that, but like most of the time they're getting bonked in the face or they're getting, you know, Bran Asked the Lord on turn 5 because it's ramp.
Oh, that's a really slow ramp druid.
It's good point.
Slow for wild. Good point.
So that's the news we got. That's what I have to read. And I've run out of things to read. So we move on to the special
news.
Note.
The news is so good.
That second one's for you, Blue Train.
Love you. He's very salty in the chat right now. You can't see it, listeners at home, but he's using coarse language in capital letters. It's not a pretty sight.
No, when it's all caps, you know. Well,
funny though.
we do have a special, special topic, and we're just going to talk about some decks that are sort of a surprise to be in the meta. Like you may not expect it, but as Trips would call it, King's Bay is back, and people have been playing it. Tempo Storm meta snapshot actually has Kingsbane in tier 2, at the top of tier 2, which is super exciting because I like playing my gold cards and I made that deck all gold, so I might have to go and play that thing.
It is a very different Kingsbane rogue that is there. So it's it is definitely not the aggro that you're used to seeing. It's you know, got the new mic drop. Scott,
you're gonna have to give me the list so I can like actually see how much gold I actually have, because now I'm sad.
It's more of like more of a hipster deck that I used to play maybe whenever Barons first came out. Maybe it's like almost like 2 years ago. I have to look and check, but I think my first Spellbane list that I got off of Twitter, like it runs 4 minions and the rest of it's all spells. Like it's all weapon buffs. It's all depending on what version you want to do. Martian Boo tried early on with like a almost a poison rogue-esque type build with like Garrotes and drawing and spell damage. And I think we've kind of decided that that's less useful. Let's use the buffed nerfed cards like Leeching Poison and Blade Flurry and just make the biggest Kingsbane as fast as possible and just go face.
Bonk.
And when we're done bonking and we're going to break our Kingsbane, let's play Leeching Poison on a Doom on a Kingsbane and let's Doomerang it back to our hand and get healing there and then smack them in the face and get more healing and just keep bonking until we're done bonking. It actually kind of plays a lot more like Questline Druid than, say, like the old Pirate Kingsbane. So, like, you might like it, you might not like it, but it is definitely strong, and it, even though it loses to Ramp Druid, it doesn't care about the things that Ramp Druid does. It does its own thing. So it's seeing success right now.
Well, good news. I just need Shadow of Demise in gold and Garrot and Harmonic Hip Hop. So yes, almost there.
I wouldn't even do the Garrot version. I would do the Blue Train version that's running two leeching. That's running two leeching, and we'll get you that list too. But like that's what Corb basically made a list, threw it out there. Blue Train picked it up, refined it a little bit, and Corb ended up agreeing with Blue Train's refinements.
Nice.
So our buddy in chat actually did refine the deck, and it looks good. It looks cool. The only other change I've seen is instead of the two counterfeit coins that Blue Train runs and Corb wanted to run, which are nice because they help you, you know, get your buffs on your Kingsbane faster. I saw one guy, Jatumu, who used to hang out in Keith's Dreams. He hit 242 with a list that cut the coins for Cloak of Shadows, which I could see being situationally decent. Me being me and a little bit tainted by Chinese deck building, I could see running one coin, one Cloak of Shadows, that you have the option to do either game plan, but like it's a neat list. And I think after the Twig Sphere nerf, it's going to be even better because Free Shaman should probably come back, you'd think. Mm-hmm. And this being a primarily burn-based deck isn't going to care about Flurgle Talks. And yeah, so this will probably find some success and still be a decent deck.
And Hydra, you really do need Shadow of Demise and gold in general. So
it's a pretty good craft. That's a pretty good craft and probably will be for a long time.
Yeah. So this is just incentive easy to upgrade. Do that thing. Yeah.
easy upgrade. Yeah.
I got it. I'll have to do that. Well, next on the list, and I think Blue Train was playing this one too. We got, hold on, let's rewind, like, I don't know, like 7-8 years, something like that. Mech Mage, totally different Mech Mage though.
Shark doo 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 doo.
Exactly. No, Mech Mage is back, and it is now top of tier 3 in the Tempo Storm meta snapshot. I mean, when they drop Mecha Shark, and they have reduced all their mechs in their hand basically down to zero, you can concede now.
yeah, when it pops off, it just pops off, right? Like when it goes, it's like, all right, you died. Nice job. And I've joked in some servers, like, all right, you only really lose to Mech Mage when you mulligan for anything but Mech Mage. Mm-hmm. And like that's kind of half true, but at the same time, when it has the nuts in it, it's always been kind of quietly sitting there, right? Mm-hmm. But the Free Shaman's been pushing it out. But even when Free Shaman's there, like if it pops off, you died. Like it's very much like Aggro Druid in that way, where it's like its first board state is brutal. And it even got new cards. They were not just running this for the sake of nostalgia's sake. It got a one drop that reduces your next mech by one. It's a 1-mana 2/1. I forget what it is, Oscillator or something?
Yeah, Frequency Oscillator. And the Tempo Storm list, at least, that's the only new one that it's running. But I mean, that card being able to cheat out additional mechs, like buff your sexy automaton, get additional Mecha Shark pings. Like, it's just such a solid inclusion.
Do
in
silly
that deck.
Things where like you make it like, you know, you drop a Mech Warper and then you drop that, and then like your next one, like your next Mech Warper is free, and then it's like, okay, let's go from here. Yeah, no, it's there's a silly amount of mana cheat.
Yeah,
silly amount of mana cheat.
It's incredible. The other new card, I'm drawing a blank on the name, but it's a 3-mana 4/3 that duplicates the largest cost spell in your hand. We're only really running one spell, Seafloor Gateway, which discounts all the things. So
yeah,
that's another really good card. I've seen some lists that do run that.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
It's a death rattle though, right?
Like, yeah.
It's a little slow,
it's
but
a little slow.
At the same time, if you're, I mean, is Seafloor Gateway and Book of Spectres?
You're right. Book is there too.
You're happy to get another copy of either of those. That's refill, right? Like you're good with, especially because it's mech mage, you're good with taking a turn off to draw six mechs and then hoping that you've got the hand that you can reduce all of them and just dump them all at once, right? So like that's not bad.
Yeah, and that's kind of this variant of mech mage's game plan in general. You do a couple things to either draw additional mechs or generate additional mechs, and then you just completely go off. So is this particular list that's in Tempo Storm does not run that new card. And I don't blame them, but I've seen some lists that do. And it's, yeah, Frequency Oscillator is just incredible.
Yeah. Frequency Oscillator just automatically slots in. Like you were running subpar mechs to, and you just cut those to make room for that. For sure. For sure.
Mm-hmm. Haha. Staying in the mage category though, there's one that, our buddy Schmoopy here is very excited to talk about, and that is Hostage Mage.
Yeah. Tell me more.
Tell me more. Tell me more. Like, did he have a car?
Yeah. No, we moved off of Mech Mage.
And get another car. Yeah, okay. Well, all right. So so this is just Quest Mage, and we may have hit a point in Mage where we've just got a critical mass of stall finally, where enough's enough. Printing Rewind means that we can print additional blocks, or we can print additional Frost Novas, or we can print additional Solid Alibis, or in the incredibly degenerate cases, print additional Time Warps, which I've done several times. You're just able to, while Luigi Time in the chat is calling it Torture Mage, you're just able to like, and NHL gets the credit for posting the list and hitting, I forget if he hit rank one with it, I think he did. This actually is favorable into Ramp Druid because, again, he hit rank two with it. It does not care what you're doing on board, and it's been sort of curated to the point where you're not even really randomly generating spells. We cut Evocation. It is all about just adding spells to your hand that you want. Like let's replay more biscuits, let's replay more Novas, let's replay more Alibis. You're actually completing the quest with some coin generation, but a lot of the times you're completing it with your stall spells. Waluigi Time is playing this deck in like top 100, top 50, top 10, constantly. And so he's bringing up also that volume up is a big part of that too. It's like, oh yeah, let me get an additional copy of one of my spells. And if you like get an additional copy of Rewind, what's kind of gross now is now Romath, when you drop him, he's going to replay Rewind. And eventually what you're looking to do is you have a potion stored in your ECT. You play your ECT, you pick potion. Maybe you potion and get ECT back, maybe not. But you're basically looking to get Romath to always play potion on himself and thus go infinite because he's replaying all the cards that didn't start in your deck. And so you're refreshing your mana constantly with biscuits and coins. So you can literally like keep adding one mana Romath to yourself and like float mana and just take infinite turns and do what you need to do. And then it becomes just a matter of, okay, how much damage do I need to do? How long do I need to do it for? How much board space do I have? Do I need to Finley my deck back into my hand back into my deck so that I avoid fatigue? And just going from there. Like it's just gross, bad feels. The kind of gameplay that they nerfed Parrot for.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lot harder to do, but at the same time, the amount of stall that's involved, you're not as bad into aggro as you should be. It's you would say, oh well, Pirate Rogue is a great counter to this. So Waluigi Time got sniped by a notorious sniper in the community. Who loves playing Pirate Rogue, and he dumpstered him. Because, again, like Pirate Rogue can't handle infinite solid alibis and infinite Frost Novas, right? So like if you run into if it, and that's really the part that has me intrigued, is like, is this deck really that bad into aggro? It's good into Kingsbane because infinite solid alibis basically neutralizes Kingsbane.
All but one attack.
Yeah, like it neutralizes Bonk Druid because, like, you know, if all your damage source is coming, you know, very narrowly through the middle from the hero, solid alibi is just going to cancel it out. So it looks to me like it has legs to continue to be strong even after nerfs. Let's say aggro branches out more and has more room to breathe, and we still have even shaman running around and pirate rogues running around. I think it's the fact that it's a combo deck that is decent into aggro has my interest piqued. Now, is it a little weak to disruption? Yeah, I mean, if your Roro gets nuked, you got problems, right? Like if it gets eaten by Mutanus, or if it gets ratted, or just, you know, Theotard because some degenerate decides they're going to play Theotard today and giggle. sure. But it's the fact that its natural counter would be aggro and it's not as weak in aggro as it should be, that has me keeping one eye on it. And I know it's not really making any headway on tier lists yet, but I've been using the technology like the rewinds and the stall package in Casino Mage, and the Casino Mage felt playable. And whenever Casino Mage feels playable, that's usually like a terrifying sign that something's horribly wrong.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Yeah, you don't want Casino Mage ever being good. It's never good. it's never good when Casino Mage is good. When Casino Mage should be a meme deck forever. It should be something Schmoopy plays at a 33% win rate in gold, right? Like it shouldn't be a deck that I could theoretically climb with to legend. And it feels like it is that right now. So, yeah, no, critical mass of stall and mage means I would keep an eye on this. I even have a mystery fourth deck that I've been playing recently that isn't even on the show notes, if I'm allowed to share. And this is, again, this is me sort of flying off the cuff. Low curve Reno Tempo Priest is something I would keep an eye on.
Reno Tempo Priest.
So Glory Magic recently posted a rank one list from a Chinese streamer that had some crazy stuff going on. It had like a captain's parrot to tutor Tony, and like a lot of other like really questionable stuff. I don't know about that list. I think that
so
guy
is this Shadow?
No, it's not Shadow.
Is it Overheal?
The list I'm playing is not Shadow. But what it has is it had stuff like Crab Rider and Bless and the locations and the new cleric so that you're drawing. The top card is Reno. In the ECT, you have a Raise Dead and you have a Shadow Reaper Anduin. You also have a Sticky Finger, but we're not going to talk about that. and you've got, you know, in the tech list, you've got, you know, your typical like Lotheb, Okani, Zephyrus, just like... And like the best way I could describe playing the deck is it's a true mid range deck. Like you can kind of be the control or you could kind of be the beatdown. Like if you queue into a quest mage, I'm gonna draw as many cards as I can to get to my Lotheb. I'm gonna make a big Crab Rider. I'm gonna make a big whatever. I'm gonna play my Zephyrus to pop your block, and I'm gonna hit you in the face as hard as I can. If I'm facing against a pirate rogue, I've got stuff like, oh my goodness, playing Zeph on 2 for consecration on 3 is beautiful into pirate rogue boards. I've got Devour to eat up one mana pirates. I've got a lot of tools where it's like I can play a little bit of anti-aggro. I can be the control if I want to. Astalor is a win condition all on his own. I would just keep an eye out for this sort of form of priest. I think this is maybe the logical evolution of where Reno Priest eventually goes. Even if now it's not optimal and it's not correct, the format's only going to get faster, right? Which means naturally your curve is going to keep getting pushed down further and further and further. And so I think there's going to, you know, continue to be cards printed that will support this kind of archetype where Priest is going to keep getting good tempo cards like you know, power word feast, bless, just cards like that where it's like, okay, well, yeah, I can play for board. And not only that, they keep for some reason doing dumb stuff like giving priest draw, where priest has never been balanced around having good draw. It's always been balanced around having limited draw. One of my pet peeves in priest is how they keep giving it ways to draw cards. And this version feels like you can draw a million cards.
And that's more than two.
Most of your deck, which in a priest deck is really scary. When a priest deck can see most of its cards, that's usually a sign that it's going to be a pretty good deck. So like, I would just keep an eye on the sort of Reno Temple Priest. I'll add a code so that people have an idea what I'm talking about, because this isn't something that I just sort of cooked up in my head. This is something that even Corbett played against on stream once, and Glory Magic was in chat and was just kind of like, yeah, by the way, this is what the guy's playing, and sort of sprayed the list out there. And Corbett was looking at it and was saying, yeah, I could see how this could win games. Like, it can scam aggro, but it also has good tempo and can play control. I won one game today because, you know, I played Draxxus Priest and I had Zephyrus get me Draxxus. And it was the same game where I played four Zephyrus because I fished four Raise Dead in my ECT. So like, it's just, you know, I think this is going to be along the fringes for now as far as decks go. But if you enjoy playing Reno Priest, this is a neat deck. This is a neat deck for sure. All right.
No, I think that's super cool.
So is your face.
Yeah, no, I really like it. Well, let's talk about the listener series. Sheep, do you want to talk about the listener series?
Heck yes, I do. So this season six of the Born to be Wild listener series is called Lords of Ice Crown. And for those of you who may not be familiar or who missed last season's listener series, Born to be Wild listener series is a free Wild Hearthstone tournament series with custom deck building restrictions each week. The main series lasts 5 weeks, followed by 3 weeks of playoffs. We are in the first week of playoffs, so week six, right now, the quarterfinals. Hydra made it into the playoffs himself. He has already played his game. I'm not gonna give too many spoilers right here. I was pretty happy with the way that your decks were looking. I think that it was a really, really awesome take on the challenge.
I'm the only one who built different decks.
Yeah,
everybody built the same thing except for me. I was like, I was not part of the club. Like, what chat was everyone else in?
So Azalea Akari actually brought had loaded up the Blood Rune variant. So theirs would have been different as well, but a different than yours. So the restriction that we're kind of talking around here is that each player, of course, has to bring Death Knight, and it can't be banned. The other three classes are determined by the type of Death Knight deck brought. So if the majority of the runes were blood, like Azalea Akari crafted, then they're the Bloody Cabal. So Mage, Priest, and Warlock are the other three. If the majority are frost runes, then they're the Frosty Lotus. And so the other three decks have to be Druid, Rogue, and Shaman. And if, like Hydra, the majority of the runes in your Death Knight deck are unholy, then they're the Unholy Goons, and Hunter, Paladin, and Warrior must be the other three classes. So this is kind of like the foundation of this week, and it's a pretty tough one, which is why it's, you know, it in the quarterfinals and not one of the ones that we have in the regular series. Not to say that we don't have pretty intense ones in the regular season, because we do there too. But the other part of this, so there are two other aspects. The primary challenge is that each deck must have the same number of minions and spells. So hero cards and weapons are not banned, but if you use them, then you know, just definitely ensure that the number of minions and spells themselves match. So if you've got like a construct quarter, two of those, then that means that you need 14 minions and 14 spells in that DK deck, for example.
Yeah, so like if you bring a hero, you need to bring something else that isn't a spell or minion. So like toss a weapon in there or something like that, right?
Yeah.
To balance it out.
Exactly. So each deck, aside from Death Knight, must also include 15 cards from Year of the Dragon. So of course, Year of the Dragon includes the sets, Rise of Shadows, Saviors of Old Doom, Descent of Dragons, Galakrond's Awakening, and the Demon Hunter Initiate set. The Death Knight, you know, since that was not around in that Hearthstone standard year, only has to include 8 Year of the Dragon cards in that one to kind of make up for that. And we actually got some pretty good feedback about that particular wrinkle in that, you know, if we didn't include Year of the Dragon, like DK was just going to run away with it and be OP. If we made them include 15, like it was... It felt like it was just giving it too much of a handicap and setting it back too far. 8, from people who have played, feels like the sweet spot where it's not overpowered, but it's not underpowered. And that's exactly what we were aiming for.
It would have just
there.
Been all neutral. It would have been like neutral cards.
Have to be, yeah.
It was 15.
Uh-huh. And that means that 15 would have to be minions too, right? So we would also have had to have had 15 spells.
It would have been absolute garbage if it was even possible.
Yeah, it was only possible for one of the runes, if I recall correctly.
You could do it. Yeah, you could do it with Rainbow, but that kind of interferes with the
other challenge.
Other part challenge.
Yeah. And then finally, we have our season-long restriction, and that is the Scourge Grows. So there must be... This week is the culmination of the Scourge Grows restriction, and so the number of undead cards that have to be in each deck for each player has grown with every week, and it is 9 this week. So a minimum of 9. You can run more undeads if you want to, but 9 was the bare minimum there. So a lot of restrictions there. You can double dip and have things like the number of undead, you know, an undead card from Year of the Dragon. That is also
that was the key. Like I would filter through each expansion with the keyword undead, right? And like that way you can double dip and just get those ones out of the way right away. It's like probably your best way of starting off.
Exactly. There are some pretty good ones too. Like Cartute Defender
is probably like the best one.
Yeah. So of course these did not have the undead card or the undead tag when it was Year of the Dragon itself.
Yeah.
They've gone back and added the undead tag to tons of minions as appropriate through Hearthstone's history. And there are some pretty strong and neutral, in particular, undead cards.
This is why I picked like the lineup that I did, because for me, using Making Mummies just sounded so fun, because there's so many undead reborn cards at the Paladin Quest. I was like, well, this deck makes itself. I was like, that's so fun. Yeah. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed building the decks for this one. It was difficult, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and it was fun looking over your decks before submission to make sure, you know, we met all the things. And we I think at the end of the day, like we talked about it for like about what, like an hour or so. And I think you changed like one card. It was so much fun though.
Yeah, it was. I definitely had a blast with this week. And, you know, like the deck building and the community aspect of the listener series it's so good. A lot of people, you know, get their heads together and, you know, try to figure this stuff out. And it's just a lot of fun. So if you didn't sign up this season, I highly recommend the next time that we do this to get in here.
Everyone, get in here.
How'd you know what I was going for there, Sheep?
We're on the same wavelength. Yeah, buddy. Well, I think we may have some unrelated advice to ask, and I don't have a button for that right now.
That's fine. And now, unrelated advice with Shmoopy Daddy. So, you've had some time to think about it. I'm going to ask the question again, Shmoopy Daddy. When is it appropriate to lick a goat?
Okay. Imagine the scenario. You're hanging on for dear life on the edge of a cliff. And you've noticed that the only thing securing you from a fall to certain death is your hands and several lines of rope that are attached to various goats.
Various
and
goats.
The only way you're going to get these goats to move.
They're just hanging out on the cliff with ropes on them.
Yeah, I mean, like, listen, they found a nice tuft of grass.
They do like cliffs.
They are established climbers, yes. They themselves. They are not worried about the cliff. You're worried about the cliff. And them being beasts of burden and not great thinkers are not thinking about you falling with the ropes attached to them, pulling them down to their certain deaths. They're busy munching on grass. They're thinking grass. So you realize that the only way to stimulate the goat into moving away and thus helping you lift yourself up from the cliff is to lick the goat. And this is the scenario that I can think of that will make it appropriate for you to lick a goat.
Wiser words have never been spoken.
And you heard that on
Bore to Be Wild.